Last time we looked at the psukim and some of the mefarshim on the psukim about bor, and we looked at the Mishnah and some of the principles in reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah had three cases of bor, none of them sort of the classic case we think about of a bor in the Rishus HaRabim. All of them were, the hole is underground in the Rishus HaRabim, the opening is in the Rishus HaYachid, or vice versa. The hole underground is in Rishus HaYachid, the opening is in Rishus HaRabim, or maybe it's from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid. In all those cases, you're chayav. So we saw the Mishnah, we saw a little bit in Rashi and Tosfos, some of the principles here that we focus really on where the opening is. It doesn't really matter in terms of Nezikin where the hole is. That doesn't affect it. It really depends on where the opening is. And the basic principle that Rashi made clear is generally if there's a bor and people are entitled to walk in the area around the bor, or not people, really, we're talking about animals, right? Shor velo adam, chamor velo kelim. One's chayv in a bor for animals, not people or utensils. But if animals have the right to walk around the bor, either it's right next to the Rishus HaRabim, or it's a hole in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim in one form or other, and if animals are entitled to walk there and fall in, you're going to be chayiv. Today, our plan is we're going to go forward in the Gemara. We're going to be exposed to a fundamental machlokes as to, and we saw some of the first aspects of this last time, a fundamental machlokes as to whether bor is primarily about a case where it's in the public domain or the private domain. Is it more about Rishus HaRabim? Your pit is in totally in a public domain, or does it have to have some aspect of Rishus HaYachid? Does it have to be in your domain originally, at least, and maybe even you still retain some ownership? We'll look at that machlokes, just the Gemara, just to get us started on that. And then, to some degree, building on our sugya, to some degree, just a large question within bor, we're going to ask what the mechayev is of bor. Why, and in what ways is bor different than the other avos nezikin, right? From our earlier limud, we looked at the four avos nezikin, and we more or less treated them as all in the same boat. But we'll see, bor may be different in some significant ways. We also talked about this a little bit last time. So we're going to be building on last time, moving ahead in the Gemara, and then dealing with some larger conceptual issues. So let's jump right in to the Gemara. Oh, and just in terms of the handout, I have just the text of the Gemara in source 2. But if you want the Tzuras Hadaf, the layout of the page, the bottom of page 3 and page 4 have the Tzuras Hadaf of the Gemara, or you could have your own Gemara, which is even better. Okay, but let's move through the Gemara. HaChofer, we'll start with the Mishnah. HaChofer bor b'rishus hayachid, ufsach l'rishus harabim, o b'rishus harabim, ufsach l'rishus hayachid, rishus hayachid, ufsach l'rishus hayachid, acher, chayav. Right, and as we saw last time, if the bor, the hole underground, is under the Rishus HaYachid, under your field, the opening is into Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. The hole underground is under Rishus HaRabim, and its opening is into Rishus HaYachid in your field. And Rashi added your mafkir, your Rishus, right? The hole opens up into your field, and then you gave up ownership in your field. And animals have the right to walk around, they fall into the pit. Or if the pit is dug under your field, and it opens up to a different private field, let's assume it's your own, a different private field of your own, as Rashi seems to say, and then your mafkir, your field, and animals fall in, you're going to be chayav. That's our Mishnah. The Gemara really jumps in with a different brisa, with a different starting point, Tanu Rabbanan, right? We learn in a brisa, HaChofer bor b'rishus hayachid, ufsachol b'rishus harabim, chayav, right? So this is similar to the Mishnah, right? If one digs a pit in the private domain, underground, and the opening is into the public domain, you're chayav, v'zehu bor ha'amur b'torah, this is what the Torah is talking about when it talks about bor, says Rabbi Yishmael. We saw last time, most of the Mefarshim took this approach. When it says, when it talks about the pit, they say it's in the Rosh Hashanah, and we saw Targum Yonasan even says, Beshuka, right? It's in the Shuk, it's in public. That's the classic understanding. And Rabbi Yishmael says this, that the pit is in the public domain, but Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Hifkir Rishuso, Velo Hifkir Boro, Zehu Bor Hamur Bator. What's the classic case of bor the Torah is talking about? If you give up your Rishus, but not the bor, meaning what? You dig a pit in your backyard, you then are mafkir your backyard, you give it up. You say, anyone can use this backyard, I don't own it anymore. But you don't give up the pit, you still own the pit. That's important. You have to actually own the pit for you to be chayev, and the animal falls in, you're chayev. That's the classic case of Bor according to Rabbi Akiva. So notice, for Rabbi Ishmael, it's in the public domain. You don't own the pit, and it's as public as possible. It's in the middle of the street. For Rabbi Akiva, even though you were mafkir your field, you still need to actually own the pit itself. Right? And this seems to be a deep machlokas. One way of thinking about it is, how much are we thinking about danger to others? I mean, if it's in the public domain, anyone can fall in. That's the key factor. How much do we also require that you actually own it? Right? Because generally, Nezikin, you own the mazik. Right? You own your shore that runs around damaging people. Do you need to actually own your boar as well? We'll get back to that question, but that seems to be what's behind Rabbi Akiva's view. He's trying to find a scenario where you own the boar, and yet it's still dangerous, right? Because you were mafkir your field, it's now normal for animals to walk around. They have the right to walk around, but there's a pit in the middle that you still own. Fine, that's Rabbi Akiva's view. As we just read this brisa, it sounds like it's a straight machlokas. Rabbi Shmuel says, boar is in the public domain. Rabbi Akiva says, boar is still owned by you in the private domain, as long as you're mafkir the field. It gets a little more complicated in a second. Yeah. So we're going to see. It's going to get more complicated in a second. But as we just read it, it sounds like, no, what the Torah is talking about is Rishus HaRabim. If you also own it, maybe then you're putter. Because it's your pit. Why are other people jumping into your pit? It's their problem. Or other animals jumping into your pit. But we'll see. It's there will be some views that say similar to what you're saying. Yeah.
When you say you own the board, is it not given
So I think that's part of the question. Does it matter that you don't financially own the boar or not? So you're committed to the view that what matters is your handiwork, and we saw that's Rabbi Ishmael, and we'll see the Gemara will say that even more explicitly, very similar to what you just said. But Rabbi Akiva seems to say it is necessary for you to financially own it. We'll see in a few minutes how this plays itself out.
What does it exactly mean? Is it only the space that
they... Let's say just the space of the boar. Yeah.
The opening or the boar?
So it seems like we don't care that much about the hole elsewhere, right? Think about it. If it opens into the Rishus HaRabim, if it opens into the Rishus HaYachin and the hole is in Rishus HaRabim, that's a case in the Mishnah. And Rashi says there, Hifkir Rishuso, and that would work the same way. So it seems like we're not concerned with where the big hole is, we're concerned with where the entrance is, that space of land, where the hole to the pit is. Do you own the real estate of the opening of the pit, or that's what matters.
But the real estate is not the
bottom of the pit doesn't really matter as much. That's what you see from Rashi, right? Because Rashi says if the right. hole is primarily in Rishus HaRabim, you don't own that, but the opening is in Rishus HaYachid, you still need to be mafgir what's around there.
You own the hole, or you own the space, or you own the property that is surrounding the hole.
Yeah, it sounds like you're just owning the hole itself, right? It sounds like just the hole itself, and you're mafkir everything else from Rishus HaYachid. That's Rabbi Akiva's classic case. Let's see, the Gemara now is going to make it a little more complicated. It's not a simple Rishus HaRabim versus Rishus HaYachid, but it's a little more complex in two different versions. Rabba is going to do it in one way, and Rabbi Yosef in a different way. So, Amar Rabba, right? We're in the five lines up from the bottom. Amar Rabba, Bibor Rishus HaRabim, Kol Yom Lo Pligi D'Mechayev. Everyone agrees a pit in the public domain, you're chayev. Right, definitely. Right, almost you might say a kal v'chomer, right? It's the obvious case. My taima, why? Amar kra, ki yiftach v'chi yichre. The Pasuk says, if you open up a pit that was previously dug, or you just uncover it, or if you dig a pit, im al psicha chayev al kriya lo kol shekein. Well, if you're liable for digging the whole pit, if you're liable for merely opening up a previously dug pit, you're certainly liable if you do all the digging. So why do we need to say both in this order? Or you say the case... The bigger chiddush and then the lesser chiddush, that makes no sense. Ella, so why is it the pasuk say this? Ella shall iske psicha val iske kriya ba'alo. Well, the reason we say this, opening a pit, digging a pit, it's because you don't actually own the pit. The pit came into your in connection with you because of actions that you took, right? As we heard a minute ago, you dug the pit, you opened the pit. That's what makes it yours. It's not yours financially, but you're responsible for it because you created the takala, you created the danger. That's how this is how Rabba reads the pasuk. Therefore, everyone agrees in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you're going to be chayav. That's what the pasuk's talking about. Ki yiftach ishbor v'chiyichre ishbor. It's talking about if in a scenario where you don't own the pit, it's not in your field, it's in the public domain, but you dug it or you uncovered it, and therefore you're responsible. So let's finish this point. That's what they agree on. Lo nechlaku ela bibor birshu. So they debate a pit in your rishus, in your domain that you own. Rabbi Akiva savar bor birshu. So nami chayev, you're also chayev if it's in your domain. How does he know that? Dichsiv ba'al habor bibor de islay ba'alim ka'amar rachmana. The pasuk says ba'al habor yishalem. Right, there's two pasukim. The first pasuk says, and you can follow this on the sheet. Right, v'chiyiftach ishbor o kiyichre ishbor v'lo yichasenu v'nafal shama shor chamor. If you open or dig a pit and an animal falls in, that's pasuk number one. Pasuk number two, ba'al habor yishalem kesiv yishiv l'lalav v'amesi elo. Right, the owner of the pit has to pay. So Rabbi Akiva says pasuk one. This is in Rabba's reconstruction. Pasuk one is talking about rishus harabim. If you open or uncover a pit, you don't own it. It's just in the street, and you uncovered it. Pasuk 2 says, Baal HaBor Yishalem, that's a different scenario. That's a pit in, that you dug in your backyard. That's Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Shmuel Savar, so this is Rabba's continuing his explanation, Rabbi Shmuel says, no, Baal HaTakala, it's still talking about the same scenario of Rishus HaRabim. When we say Baal HaBor, we don't mean the financial owner of the pit. We mean the person who's responsible for the takala, for the nuisance, for the stumbling block in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But you're actually putter if you own the land. Ela maizehu bor ha'amar batorah, dikam Rabbi Akiva. What does it mean that Rabbi Akiva says, this is the only pit in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, if he thinks you're also chayav in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? No, zehu bor shepasach b'akasav t'chila l'tashlumin. Doesn't mean it's the only pit. It means it's the pit in Pasuk 2, the Pasuk that talks about payment. That's what we mean by that. So we sort of play down that line that this is the only pit. But that's Rabba's reconstruction. You'll see in number 3, item number 3, Rabba's view. I tried to summarize it. Rabba's view, everyone says you're chayev in the public domain. Rabbi Akiva says you're also chayev in your rishus, in the private domain. And Rabbi Yishmael says you're chayev only in Rishus HaRabim, not in Rishus HaYachid. And the question is Pasuk 1 is definitely about Rishus HaRabim. Is Pasuk 2 also about Rishus HaRabim, Rabbi Yishmael? Or is Pasuk 2 about Rishus HaYachid, Rabbi Akiva? That's the way Rabba establishes the two different views here. Okay, questions, comments, and then we'll get to Rabbi Yosef. Yeah?
So, looking at the first Pasuk, assuming that the first Pasuk dovetails into the second one, can it be understood that Baal HaBor means that you created it, you broke it, so to speak, you own it?
In some ways, right? No one's going to say that you can now build a house there in the middle of the street, right? But you're responsible for it. Yeah, you're responsible for it.
So it doesn't make a difference if you either way, you're responsible.
Right. I think that's absolutely how Rabba reads that first pasuk. Then the question is, does the second pasuk say there's also this other category of a pit that you own or not? And that's the open question. Okay, so that's Rabba's reconstruction. Why?
Because if you're opening somebody else's and you're creating your own, certainly if you're opening somebody else's...
But what are they doing in my pit? It's my pit. Why is there an animal in my pit? If I actually own the pit, then what is this animal doing here?
Aren't you talking about your mafker?
You're mafker the land around it. You're mafker the pit itself. So, okay, it's obviously unsafe what you're doing, right? But still, you can say, technically, it's not my fault. That's the argument. That seems to be what Rabbi Yishmael would respond. We'll get into this in more detail in a few minutes. Okay, so that's Rabba's reconstruction. And Rabbi Yosef is going to do the exact opposite thing. Again, if you want to follow just the Shittos, it's in source 3. But I'm going to read through the Gemara here as well. Rabbi Yosef Amar, this is the 6th line on Nun Amud Beis. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Bibor Bershus HaYachid, Kuli Amal Opligi Demechayiv. Right, this may be what some of you would prefer. Everyone agrees that if it's a bor in the private domain, then you're going to be chayiv. Right, so if you dig a pit and then you're mafkir the land around the pit, you own the pit. Definitely, you're going to be chayiv because you own the pit. So you're definitely liable. It's definitely yours. Everyone agrees about that. My taima baal habor amar rachmana bebor de islay baal maskinan. And you can even see that in the pasuk. Pasuk number 2 says baal habor yishalim. The owner of the pit has to pay. So if you own the pit, you're definitely going to be chayiv. So that everyone agrees, according to Rav Yosef. So what do they argue about? Ki pligi bibor b'shus harabim. They disagree about a pit in the public domain. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, bor b'shus harabim, nami chayav. Dichsiv ki yiftach v'chiyichre imel psicha chayav al kriya lo kol shekein el shal iske psicha v'al iske kriya ba'alo. The whole reasoning we said before, right? Pasuk number one, why are we talking about uncovering a pit and then digging a pit? If you're chayav for merely uncovering, you should definitely be chayav for digging the pit. The answer is we're talking about a context where you only own the pit because of actions you took. You don't own it monetarily. You're responsible for it because you opened it or dug it. That's what pasuk number one is talking about. So Rabbi Shmuel would say pasuk number one is talking about which is a rabin. Pasuk number two is talking about which is a yachid. You're chayav in both cases. That's Rabbi Shmuel's view, as Rabbi Yosef explains it. Rabbi Akiva, no, Rabbi Akiva says that's not the correct reading. Hanu mitzrach tzriche, we need both psukim. Sorry, rather, we need both ki yiftach and ki yichra. We need to talk about both uncovering a pit and digging a pit. Di'ikaza rachmana ki yiftach. If we only had said that if you open the pit, if we only had talked about that case, havamina poseachu desagi levikisui, korelo sagi levikisui, aditaimle. I would have thought, how do you rectify your actions? If you uncover a pit, you can cover it, and that's good. But if you actually dug the pit, you can't just put a cover on it. You have to fill in the whole pit with dirt. That's what you would have thought. That's why the pasuk has to say both. Say it's the same halacha. You can cover it and be off the hook either way.
Why can't you cover it like the other guy covers his pit?
Because if you dug it, it's still...
Right, but you can certainly...
So that's the halacha at the end of the day. But we needed a pasuk to teach that, because you might have thought, if you dig the hole, you can't just put a manhole cover on it and be good. There's still a hole there. There's still a potential damage to happen. Well, not that it's mutter, that someone might do it, right? That we know that. We know someone might, yeah. So that's why we need to have, that's why we can't just have ki yiftach. Because of Rachmana ki yichre, if we only had ki yichre, if we only had the case of digging a pit, hava mina kriyahu debai kisui, mishum de avid maisa, I might think, only if you dig the hole, do you need to cover it in order to rectify what you did. Aval poseach to lo avid maisa, ema kisui nami lo bai, kamash malan. I think if all you did was open a pit, someone else already dug it, the work is already done, you know, you just opened it. That doesn't really count. So you don't even need to cover it, right? It's not really your fault. It's the fault of the person who dug it. It's a bit of a weak havamina, but that's the havamina. That's why we need to say both ki yiftach and ki yichre. Therefore, you should realize the resolution, the rectification is the same. Both the way of fixing, opening a pit and digging the pit is to cover it. That is both necessary and sufficient in both cases. Yeah. It's Rabbi Akiva's trying to find, or with the Gemara, for Rabbi Akiva's trying to find some reason why you need to say both.
And then also, just generally, when you were reading, Rabbi Yosi Amar Bor Birshus Yachid, whenever the word Bor is written here, you're talking about the opening, you're talking about the actual...
We're always talking about the opening. And the Tosfos on Mem Tesem Abeis, Hachofer, says, Klo de Milsa B'chol HaChshmaitza, in the whole sugi, here's our general rule, Bor Basar Pischo Azlinan. The bor follows its opening. The pit counts as where the opening is. Why? Presumably because we're thinking about people falling in. I don't care where they fall into. I care about where it's dangerous.
And that makes, I would say, the reading even weaker. Mm-hmm. Because if the whole ikur of the bor, from our perspective, is the opening, why would I have this havamina? Just because someone else dug it, or I dug it, I have to fill it in. I mean, it's...
Well, so it's an interesting question. I mean, part of the question is, and we're not going to get into this today, is when we say the way of rectifying what you did, is that a way of preventing other people from getting hurt? Is that the primary goal? Or is the primary goal to fix the damage that you did to the street? You damaged the street. That's right. There's two things wrong. If you dig a hole in the street, you did two things wrong. Number one, you dug a hole in the street. That's not your property.
We have not talked about that.
I know.
The street at all.
But maybe that's what the double language is about.
But now we're mixing up.
Maybe. I'm just saying maybe that's where Rabbi Akiva is coming from. I don't know. We're not going to get into that. But that may be a path to have this be a bit less of a dachuk answer. Yeah.
A bor has a shear, right? It has to be
10 tefachim,
is it?
10 tefachim in order for someone who dies to have the death be attributable to the bor. Not a person, animal who dies. But if it's less than 10 tefachim and the animal's injured, that still would apply.
There's no min, in other words,
It needs to be a takala, right? So in terms of no depth, and we're going to see this in a couple of minutes, but we also saw it on Daf Gimel earlier, is if you leave, let's say you're mafgir a rock, and you leave a rock in the street, so that counts as bor also, right? Everyone agrees. If you're mafkir, it takes me. You relinquish ownership. You leave it in the street. It's a bor, even though there's no hole, but it's a takala. So it has the same halachos as a bor. In terms of the ten tefachim, that's this special idea that death can be attributable, which we wouldn't assume otherwise. Usually, we assume you're not going to die by impact. You only die because of the deep pit, which has bad air. Some whole story. We'll get into that later. That doesn't cohere necessarily with contemporary physics. We'll have to figure that out, and or biology. We'll have to figure that out at some later point. But okay, fine. I think that's what I want to do in the Gemara, and just to flesh out the two different views. But the main question we have here is, is it better for you to own the pit? Is it worse for you to own the pit? What exactly is bor about? Is classic bor part of this machlokes in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, which then gets remixed in a couple of different ways? But is classic bor a case where it's totally in the public domain? You just dug a hole in public and you have no ownership rights at all? Or no, Rabbi Akiva says, wants to hold out that actually you really do own the pit. And, in some ways, think about it, we say, well, you know, the more intuitive case is that it's in the public domain, because that's so much more dangerous. What are you doing making a hole in the public domain? But let's remember that you're only chayev, in any event, if you're mafkir the land around, right? So definitely, you're only going to be chayev if the land around the pit is a place where animals have the right to walk around, right? So in some ways, you might say the opposite, that Dafka Rabbi Akiva's view makes more sense. If you own the pit, this is like other nezikin. Most nezikin, you own the mazik, right? Like shor, adam a mazik. Usually, right, adam, you are yourself shor. All the different categories of shor that are mazik, you own your shor, and that's why you're responsible for what it did. This idea that you would be responsible despite not owning it is somewhat more surprising, somewhat less intuitive from that perspective. So I'll take any questions if there are questions now. If not, we'll move into this larger question of what is the story with bor? Is bor like the other mazikin? Is it not? How does this tie into questions of ownership? How does this tie into other issues? And we'll start with the Mechilta, source 5, on our pasuk, right, about bor. Ki yiftach ish bor, o ki yichre ish bor. And remember, we just saw in the Gemara, says this is not only redundant, but sort of backwards. If you're chayav for opening up a pit that was previously dug, you're definitely chayav for digging the whole pit, right? So why is this? Why do we have this double language? Ki yiftach ishbor, o ki yichre ishbor. So Michilta is midrash, but it's a midrash halacha. It's earlier than the Gemara. Michilta is from the time of the Mishnah, more or less, and you know the yeah. So and it has you know it's a. Yes, the Rambam sometimes will paskin based on midrash halacha. The Gra has a very interesting theory as to like what counts as the canon of Jewish sources or not. And so for him, it's Tanakh, Mishnah, Tosefta, Gemara Yerushalmi, Gemara Bavli, Rambam, and Medrash Halacha. No other Midrashim, only Medrash Halacha, which includes the Mechilta on Shmos, the Sifra on Vayikra, and the Sifrei on Bamidbar and the Sifrei on Dvarim. Mechilta means, it's the Aramaic word for midah. It means measurement. But it also, just like midah, can be like an approach or an interpretive approach. So Mechilta has that meaning also. The Mechilta, Mechilta, de Rabbi Yishmael. So it's Rabbi Yishmael and his students. And so the we give a whole shir on this. But Midrash Halacha have two different schools. There's the Rabbi Akiva school and the Rabbi Yishmael school, which is sort of interesting given, you know, they have a lot of machlokos. Obviously, Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael is the Rabbi Yishmael school. The truth is, we sort of have another Mechilta, Mechilta de Rashbi, de Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who is a student of Rabbi Akiva, but we don't have all of it. It got lost. So we've tried to recover it based on quotes in Rishonim, based on quotes in Medrash HaGadol, which is a 16th century Taimani Medrash. And then they found in the Gniza, in the Cairo Gniza, and other European libraries, and on the back wrapping of other books, they found little scraps, little pieces of Mechilta de Rashbi. We don't have the whole thing, but it was out there. It was an alternate Medrash. 400, 300. Something like that, yeah.
Since you're going there, how does this Mechilta differ from the Sifrei?
Yes. So Midrashi Halacha are organized around Psukim, and as we'll see, it'll start to the pasuk, it interprets it. Tosefta is organized around the Mishnah. It's, you know, generally presents itself as an addition to the Mishnah. Sometimes it has materials that, you know, like on the what do they call it, the scrapping floor, the cutting floor, materials that didn't make it into the Mishnah, or there'll be like an earlier version that the Mishnah sort of polished a little bit, but the older version stays in the Tosefta, or it's additions. So that's, Tosefta is really tied to Mishnah, and Medrash Halacha is tied to the Psukim. Yeah, no, it's formulated around the Psukim. Sifrei, so even though we use the same term, Sifrei and Bamidbar and Dvarim, it seems like the Sifrei and Dvarim is Rabbi Akiva school, and the Sifrei and Bamidbar is Rabbi Yishmael school, somewhat oddly. But they're on different Sfarim of Chumash, but they'll be there. I mean, it's similar. It'll be similar in approach generally. Okay. Yeah, it's not really clear why the names are what they are. I mean, what the basis is for them. These are just the names that stuck. And then the Gemara gives a different, has different names to refer to some. Well, no, it uses these names. Yeah, it's not exactly clear why this for that. And there's none on Brachos. These are also known, they're known as Midrashe, Midrashim of the Tanaim. It's also known as Medrash Halacha because they're primarily halachic, and there's none on Brachos because there's not so much halacha. So, yeah, it starts really with when the mitzvahs start. Okay. Okay, so we'll jump into source 5 after that little intro, which is good. It's you know, things you don't, things that don't necessarily come up in day school or afterwards. So, what?
Never.
Or yeshivas, yeah. So it's good to know, right? Okay, so source 5 from the Mechilta, and it's a bunch of different interpretations, but this is one of them. Davar Acher, right? Another take on our Pesukim. V'chi yiftach ish in the Eloposeach, Koraminayin, right? If I just said the words, I only know if you open up the pit. How would I know if you also dig the pit that you're chayiv? Tamar lomar, o kiyichreish. Okay, the pasuk fills it in. So, achelo yomar, yeshli bedin. You didn't need to tell me that. Instead of telling me that you dig it, yeshli bedin, I have it with a din, with a kal v'chomer. I could have figured out by kal v'chomer, if you open a pit, you're chayiv. Definitely if you dig the pit, you're chayiv. Im aposeach chayiv, akor lo kol shekein. Implicit question, why are you telling me both? Especially in this order. If you open the pit, you're chayiv. Definitely if you dig the pit, you're chayiv. So what is the mechilta answer? Hayim amar kain anashta min adin. If you say this, if you make this kal v'chomer, opening a pit, you're chayiv. Definitely digging a pit, you're chayiv. That's onshin min adin. That would punish based on a din, based on a kal v'chomer. But we don't say that. We say ain onshin min adin. That's our general rule. You don't punish based on a kal v'chomer. L'kach nemar o ki yichre l'lamedcha she'ain onshin min adin. That's what we need to spell out. Also, if you dig it, isn't there a kal v'chomer? Yes, but we don't punish based on a kal v'chomer. If we're going to punish you for your bor, we need to spell this out. Okay, that's starting point. Now the Rashba uses this on Daf Beis. We actually saw the beginning of this Rashba back in May, in like one of the earlier shiurim about what the Isser of Nezikin is.
We'll take your word for it.
but we're now going to look at a different part of this Rashba, which is actually going to quote the Mechilta and say some very interesting things about bor. So, and this Rashba is on the, if you remember, from Daf Beis, we had a Havamina that there's two different types of Karen, that there's Karen Tzlusha and Karen Mechubera. It's a horn that's, let's say, an iron horn that the animal is holding around, banging into things, versus a horn actually on the animal's head. And we said, maybe Karen Tzlusha, you're Chayev Chatzi Nezek in a normal case, if it's a detached horn, but if it's Karen Mechuberis, if it's on the animal, you'd be chayiv muad, full damage right away. Al Mechuberis, ema kula mu'edes hi. So the question is, how do we know this, right? We saw the Tosfos on this at the time. The Rashba asks a similar question. You know, kashali adarava, ema kula tamahi, l'shalim chatzi nezik. Why are you assuming it's more chayiv? Why not say it's less chayiv? And he says, well, maybe there's a kal v'chomer, and so jumping to the second half of line 2, the odiyesh lomer delefachos minatlusha iyefshir, the kal v'chomer who you can't say that Karen Mechuberes is less chayiv than tlusha because it's more chamur, it must be a kal v'chomer, therefore it must be more chayiv. So that's how we'd know, that's how we'd have this havamina that you're chayiv, that it's muad always. We have a kal v'chomer. V'ikashelach demashma de'enon shemin adin af benezikin. You can't make a kal v'chomer in Nezikin, ain on shem natin, right? That's what we saw in our Mechilta. He's going to quote you. Can I read him in Mechilta? Tanya, ki yiftach yishborok yichre imal poseach chayev al korlo kol shekin. The Mechilta, ain on shem natin. We don't say on shem natin. So don't tell me you're making a kal v'chomer in this case of Karen, right? Remember, that's Karen. And now he says a big chiddush. Mistabrali, it appears to me, it seems logical to me, dilo amru kain, that Bryce, Mechilta, they only said that el beniske bor. When are you not allowed to make a kal v'chomer? Only by bor. Why? It's a big chiddush bor that you're chayvin bor. Why should you be chayvin bor? It's not obvious. It's a big chiddush. V'leika v'kulhu nezikin v'kavase, there's nothing like this. Never seen any other mazik like bor. Bor is sui generis. It's one of a kind. Why? He's going to give three reasons. Number one, l'fi she'ein darko leilichu lahazik. The bor doesn't move around. It's lazy. Right? It's just there, and people come to it, or animals come to it and injure themselves. That's not the boar's fault. Why should the boar be chayiv? It's just sitting there, number one. Number two, the ode, she'en or shalo, this is very important for our sugya. I don't own this boar. It's just a boar. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, this wouldn't be true, right? But according to Rabbi Yishmael, I don't own the boar. Why should I be chayiv? It's not my boar. It's just a hole over there. Okay, I dug it. I don't own it, though. All the other nezikin, I own them. Maybe not Esh, we said last time, right? But generally, I own the Nezikin. That's number two. V'afilu hachia, so akasav ki'ilhu shalo, right? The Torah goes out of his way to say, it says, if you own it, but I don't actually own it. That's number two. Number three, v'od, she'anizak balir shuso shel mazik. You're coming to me, right? The animal walks into the pit. Not only is the pit not moving around, the animal walks into the pit and damages itself. D'hainu chala habor. And so, in such a case, such a lowly mazik, like bor, the ain onshin midin kazeh, this boar, you wouldn't say a kavachomer in the context of boar. Boar is so weak, you wouldn't say a kavachomer. In chabal chidusho, we're limited to the basic chiddush, right? It's such a chiddush. It's so surprising that you're chayav for boar. We don't extend it based on kavachomer. That's why we wouldn't have thought imala posea chayav al kore lo kol shekin. So that's only by boar we don't make a kavachomer. Aval she'ar nezikin shememono holech umazik onshin by minatin. By other nezikin, let's say by Karen, which is what the Gemara is talking about there, we do make kal v'chomers to say your chayev. Only by bor do we not make kal v'chomers. Big chiddush from the Rashi. And then he says, oh, here's a Gemara that seems like elsewhere we do have a kal v'chomer. Right, sure, l'karnu mavelishino, and lor izek rizeh, we have a kal v'chomer. So he wants to say this is his general theory by nezikin. You can make kal v'chomers by everything, but not by bor, because bor is so weak that you don't make a kal v'chomer. Now, there's two ways of understanding this. One way is to say, okay, it's a quantitative point, right? Bor is, it's such a chiddush, it's so counterintuitive that you're chayav for bor, we don't extend it, ein l'cha bo el chidush. We don't extend it beyond the very narrow scenario. Whatever the Torah says, we apply. If the Torah doesn't say it, we don't apply it. That's why the Torah has to say both yiftach and yichre. Because if you only knew poseach, you wouldn't have known korah. Maybe that's what the Rashba means. But it's also possible that we might take a conceptual reading of the Rashba. It's not that bor is less than the other nezikin per se. It's that bor is different. The mechayiv of bor is actually different than the mechayiv of other nezikin. So that's alternate approach we're going to look at now in just a minute. But first, any questions? I saw a hand. Yeah.
Is he saying that we don't apply the kal v'chomer, or that the principle of ein onshin v'nadin is not applied?
Well, ein onshin v'nadin means you're not going to apply the kal v'chomer, meaning it's definitely usur to make a hole in the street, right? So we're not talking about that. We're talking about whether you have to pay. That's the onesh, ein onshin v'nadin, so we don't apply it.
Ein onshin v'nadin is a general principle.
Well, yes, how general it is the question here, right?
Oh, so that's the...
Does it only apply... Right, meaning it applies to like Malkos and Misa and all those things. But in terms of Nezikin, does ein onshin v'nadin apply everywhere? That's what the Rashba's Havamina was. And then he says, no. Ein onshin v'nadin by Nezikin only applies to bor. If it's not bor, onshin v'nadin. We have no problem with that. We have no problem with using a kal v'chomer to say your chayiv. Only by bor are you not allowed to say that.
Wow, so he's
saying onshin v'nadin. By mamon, by Nezikin, right?
Is that because mamon is not really onesh?
Great. So you're getting at some of the principles here. Maybe what he's saying is, the other nezikin aren't an onesh. What would that mean about bor? Maybe bor is an onesh. So hold that thought. We're going to get to that in more detail in just 1 second. Yeah.
Looking at the Rashba, logic would dictate, since he's saying the bor doesn't move around, it's basically a surreptitious dangerous. I mean, all of it is undetectable. If you see a shore walking around with another horn doing whatever, you can step out of the way, you can do whatever. But this is surreptitious. If you're unaware of it, I would think that there would be greater humor with the horn than the other way around.
I hear you're saying Rosh, but it's not so innocuous, this boar. It's lying in wait. It's hiding. I hear, but the Rashba disagrees with you on a practical level. I don't know what else to say, right? He seems to think it's not, leaving aside. So you can argue about the practicality of it's not moving. Is that worse or better? But definitely in terms of the ownership point, you can't argue with that, right? What the Rashba is saying is if you don't actually own the pit, in some sense, you're less liable. You can't point to liability in the same way that I own this animal hit someone, I'm liable. You can't do that in the same way here.
The problem here is, for me, is that the term ownership seems to be fluid. It's a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
So what should it mean? Do you own this vacuum space that you have created? So, I mean, what is it that you're owning? I still think that what you own is to damage.
Well, let's put it this way. If you decided to take this pit and build a house in that exact spot, can you do it or not? If you own it, then you can. If you don't own it, then you can't. Right?
Yeah.
So that let's use that as our definition of ownership. Can you do whatever you want with it? Do you actually own the land? So
if you don't own the land, then you don't acquire ownership just because you
Correct. Own. Correct. But you might still be liable. So you're liable without ownership. That's different than the other Nezikin. Where does this come from? You can be liable without owning it. That's the Rashba's thing. It's a Chiddush, and in the Chabbalah Chiddusha, we limit it. Let's try to understand what the Rashba is saying here. Okay. Yeah. You can tell or not, right?
Exactly.
That's interesting. I haven't seen that, but yeah, it's another factor to take into account. Okay, so let's look at the Rambam. This is a Rambam in general about Nezikin, but it has an interesting formulation that might be helpful for us when we think about what makes someone chayev in Nezikin in general. Rambam, source 7 here. Kol ha'mishalim nezek shalem. Right, nezek shalem. None of this chatzi nezek. Like real nezek. Nezek shalem cases. Hariya tashlumin mamon. This is mamon as opposed to knas. So what does that mean, mamon? Shu chayev l'shalmo, kimisha lava mechavero, shu chayev l'shalim. Why do I owe you money? It's like if I borrow money from you, I have to pay it back. If I broke something of yours, or my animal broke something of yours, I owe you that, right? You break it, you buy it, right? Almost, right? Like as soon as I break it, I have to recompense you, and I owe you the money immediately. And he says it's not true about chatzi nezek. One way of understanding this is, why do I need to pay you back when I damage something? It's sort of like a natural fact that I owe it to you. I did something wrong. You had this item. It was worth money. Because of what I did or what my animals did, you no longer have it. I owe it to you. Right? It's like almost like I borrowed it from you. I need to give it back. I borrowed this item. Sorry? Okay, right? I think the way the Rambam's language, though, it's an interesting metaphor. He says, it's like you have that you borrowed their money. I borrowed, right? If I broke your car, right? It's like I borrowed your car. I did something to it. I need to give it back to you. I need to make you whole. So I owe you a car almost automatically. Now, would we say this is an onesh? Are you being punished for damaging the car? Or maybe it's not a punishment, but the person I deserve, it's my car. I deserve a car. So you did something to it. Okay, I don't really care. I don't think you're a bad person. Maybe you did it by accident. Maybe your animal did it. Maybe it was on that. But you know what? You need to recompense me for my car. I need to have a car back. It's not an onesh. It's just like a natural fact. You now owe me this money because you damaged this. Not that you did anything wrong necessarily. This goes back back in May. We said, is there an iser lahanzik? Is there an iser to damage? Maybe not. Maybe there's no iser to damage. But you obviously shouldn't do it, but if you damage, you need to pay back, not because you did something wrong per se, but because the person is owed what they had originally. Let's assume that that's our theory of Nezikin in general. But the question now is, can we say this by boar? Right? Because generally, the logic of me saying, let's say my ox, let's say it was even a muad, my ox gored your ox or your car, my ox trampled your car, I need to pay you back. What's the logic there? The logic there is I own this ox. I own it. I'm responsible for what it does. And if it damaged your thing, I owe you that. Because of things that I own, your things were damaged. I owe it back to you. I need to make you whole. That works for something like Shor. What about something like Bor? Especially, let's talk about Bor within the view of Rabbi Yishmael, not Rabbi Akiva. You don't own the Bor. You don't own the Bor. I dig a hole in the street, an animal falls into it. So what can you say? You can say, oh, well, why did your thing damage my animal? It didn't. I don't own that pit. I didn't do that. So on the one hand, there's a certain logic there, right? Nothing of mine damaged your animal. It's a hole in the street. But what's the obvious response? What are we all thinking? Why should I be liable? Yeah, you're responsible. You created this dangerous situation. Of course you should be liable for creating this dangerous situation. Will? Right now it's about ownership. Right, I can say, if I own the shore and the shore damages you, I can say, this shore, which I own, the shore owes the money and I, stand in for its bank account, or the shore, when it damages, creates a liability, financial liability. It's as if I borrowed the car, I need to replace the car. But you can't really say that with a pit. Right, there's a pit. I happen to have dug the pit. I dug the pit a year ago. And now an animal falls in. Okay, it's not my pit. It's not, why am I responsible for the pit? So the answer has to be that, not that I own the pit necessarily, but maybe I'm responsible because I did something wrong. What did I do? I created a takala. I created a nuisance. I created something dangerous, and there's just a rabbin. So it's almost like, you get a slap on the wrist. The punishment for making something dangerous is you have to pay back people who are damaged. Not because it's an automatic, it's a natural obligation, not like normal Nezikin, my ox gored your ox, so I need to make you whole. No, it's not because of that. It's an onesh, it's a punishment. And maybe, this goes back exactly to what Moshe said before. Maybe that's what the Rashba is saying here. The Rashba is saying, Bor is different than Shor. It's not necessarily that it's less, it's just different. Usually Nezikin is based on ownership. I own this, it did damage, I need to fix what happened. I need to make it whole. Not that I did anything wrong. I need to make it whole. But Bor, it's not about what I own, because I don't own the Bor, certainly according to Rabbi Yishmael. It's not about what I own. It's about something I did wrong. I dug a hole in the street. That's terrible, right? I need to pay for that. That's an onesh. That's a punishment on me. It's not on something I own. It's a punishment for me. And that will work differently. What's the difference between a punishment for something I did and something that's like a natural result that I'm responsible for because I own the animal that damaged? What's a good nafkamina between these two? Onshin min hadin. Is it an onesh or not? If it's Bor is an onesh, so we don't say onshin min hadin. That's what the Mechilta is saying. That's what the Rashba is saying. But other nezikin are not an onesh. It's not a punishment. It's the natural result. Your things, your stuff, your animal damage their stuff. You have to make them whole. You didn't do anything wrong per se. Financially, it's the same, but is it a punishment or not? And the nafkamina is, do we say ein onshin min hadin or not? That's exactly the Rashba's distinction. So the Rashba, he says a few things. He says, number one, remember the three items. Number one, is your pit going around damaging people? No, it sits where it is. Number two, do you own it? No. And number three, maybe the most interesting, is, wait a second, what's your stuff doing in my pit? Now, this is getting a little more complicated already. Remember, because we just said that you don't own, the Rashba just said you don't own the pit. But now he's saying, well, but also, why should I be liable? Because your stuff is in my pit.
That's why he said that I am
Chalal Abor. The heir of the pit, right?
That's why you have to add that.
Interesting. But let's see now, we can tie this into a Tosfos, which has an interesting perspective. And I should just say, we're not going to see this inside, but if you look on the top of page 3, there's a nice piece, I have a first half of it, a piece by the Avi Ezri, by Rav Shach, on the Rambam, on a different Rambam, but he ties into the sugya. He talks about the Rashba, he talks about the Tosfos. We're about to see, he says this Mahalach. So this is an elaboration on his Mahalach. Right. So you could say that. And you could say, really, at the end of the day, you're chayav because you do own it. Right? It looks like you don't own it. It sort of feels like you don't. But at the end of the day, magically, you own it. That is possible. But the Rashba seems to disagree with that, because the Rashba says, You don't really own it, even though the Torah puts it back in your Rishus. Something's still missing, meaning it's not really that you own it. There's something lacking there. I think, as we were saying, that could be an approach of you're chayiv, not because something you own did damage and you're naturally liable. You're chayiv because you did something wrong, and your punishment is to pay them back. But let's look at this. Yeah? Sorry? So Eish is interesting, because I think we talked about this last time, that the Tosfos that says that boar you don't really own, even though it says Mamoncha, you don't really own it. You can say the same thing, potentially, about Eish. So it's a good question. You know, that's a question for when we do Eish. But at the very least, boar is different from Shor, from Adam, from classic Mazikin. Eish may be in a similar boat to boar, but you know, the Rashba here is focusing on boar at the very least. Okay, so for the Tosfos, we need a little bit of background. So first of all, source 8, also from our Limud earlier, there's if you are not mafgir a rock or a bag, let's say you take your knapsack and leave it in the street. And you're not mafgir. You still own your knapsack. You leave it in the street. What is that? What avnezikin is that? Bor? Or alternatively? Or shor, whatever exactly shor is. Something like that. Right, so that's actually machlokes in source 8. Right, so if you're not mafgir, you're avnezikinu maso, your bag. You leave it in the street. Id lo afgirinu, so according to Shmuel, he says, hainu bor, that's bor. You leave your bag in the street. Even if you own it, it's bor. According to Rav, Hainu shor, it counts as shor. What's the nafkamina between shor and bor? One big nafkamina is, are you only chayiv for behema? Or are you also chayiv for adam and kalim? That's one big nafkamina, among others. In any event, that machokas we saw on daf gimel in source 8. The Gemara also says similarly in source 9, the last line in source 9, Rav, hani mili hecha da afkarinhu. Only if you're mafkir these items that you left in the street, are you chayav for bor? If you're not mafkir, it's your money, and therefore it will be shor. Same idea as in source 8. But what's the logic here? Why is it, right, it sounds a little odd. It sounds like if you're mafkir, if you give up ownership, then it's a bor. If you own it, then it can't be a bor. It's only shor. Stationary is not the only factor here, right? It sounds like it really matters whether you own it or not. But why should you be worse off if you own it, right? It should be a kal v'chomer. And again, a kal v'chomer, right? If you don't own it, it's a bor. So now that you own it, you're worse off. It's not bor anymore. So there's a question how to understand this gemara. Rashi says in source 10, Sabar Rav bor shechiva alav Torah behef hifkir reshuso uboro hu dechiva so. Rav says only if you don't own your bor, and that'll come out of the continuation of our sugya, like an extreme version of Rabbi Yishmael, that you can't own your bor. If you own your bor, you're not chayav for bor. You're never chayav for bor if you own it. That's Rashi's explanation. But Tosfos says, no, I can explain it differently. Tosfos says as follows in source 11. Umiyu nira, de rav matzi savar shapir, de hifki reshuso velo boro, nami chayav. Right, let's say you're mafgir, you're a shus, but not your bor. Let's say you own the bor, you're also chayiv, right? Rav might say that. So we're not entering Rabbi Yishmael territory necessarily. You can own your bor and still be chayiv. Alfagav de avnos akinu maso, de lo afgirinu lo havi bor. So here's what we have to try to figure out. If it's the case, if Rav holds that you can own your bor and still be chayiv, you can own your bor and still be chayiv, but that's not true about a knapsack. It's not true about a knapsack, about an item you leave in the street. Why is that? Hainu mishum da difi mibor. So Tosa says, no. It's not that it's anything less. It's not that it's not bor. It's that it's both bor and shor. And shor, you're more chayiv. You're more chayiv because you're even chayiv for kalim.
You don't have the kulas.
Right, exactly. You don't have the kulas of bor. You have an extra chumra. A difi mibor. It's better than bor. V'ika nami lechiyuvin mishum shor l'chayiv ben esa kalim. So that's if it's a knapsack. That's if it's an item you leave in the street. But what about the bor itself? Aval bor birshuso, leka lechiyuvei mishor. Dishor birshuso putter. Kiditznan, chutz birshusim yuchedes lamazik. Let's say I have an actual shor. I have an animal, and it's in my field. And someone walks into my field, and my ox gores it. Am I chayiv? No, what are you doing in my field? You're trespassing. Of course, right, trespassers will be gored. It says the sign there, right? It's implicit. You can't just walk into my field and then blame me for goring you. So Tosfos wants to say we can apply the same thing for a boar, for a pit. A pit, if you own the pit, if you own the boar, we can't say that you're chayev if something falls in. Why? Because we can't say you're chayev as sure if something falls in, if you own it. Why? Because you own it. You own the pit. What business do you have walking into my pit? That's why Rav says, if you're mafkir, if it's hefker, then you can be mechayev. But if you're not mafkir it, you're going to be you're going to be putter because you still own it. You're going to be putter. You can't say that you're chayev because what are you doing in my area? Right. That's why Rav says that if you're mafkir it. Well, this is in the street, right? So, no, the mafkir, the thing itself, the boar itself. We're talking the boar itself. If you're mafkir, the boar itself, let's get started again, right? So, if with the knapsack, Rav says you need to be mafkir, but he doesn't really mean that, right? Meaning, if you're not mafkir, it's also a boar. It's boar and it's shor.
You're on the hook more for being a
shor. Exactly. But the boar itself, you can't be mechayev as shor if you own it. Why not? Why is a pit itself, you're not chayev as shor if someone falls in? You own it. Why shouldn't you be chayev for shor? Because what are you doing walking into my boar? So wait a second. So then how are you ever chayev for boar? You should never be chayev for boar.
Because boar is different.
Ah, exactly. Boar is different. So you're not chayev for boar the way you're chayev for other mazikin. Other mazikin, you're chayev. Why? Because something I own did damage. That doesn't work for boar because I own the boar, but also you fell in. You walked right into the boar. That's what the Rashba is saying. The boar isn't going anywhere. You came into the boar and injured yourself. That's your fault. You can't blame the boar. The boar didn't do anything. The boar's just sitting there. What are you doing in my boar? So you can't be chayev for something that my boar did. So how are you ever chayev for boar? How are you ever chayev for boar? So you have to say, as Moshe told us, as the Rashba told us, boar is different. You're chayev for boar not because you own the boar. Even if you do own the boar, right? You're not chayev because you own the boar. You're chayev for boar because of the takala. Because I created something dangerous. I made a hole in the street, or I made a hole in my backyard and then opened up my backyard for everyone to walk through. I was mafkir it. It's my fault. I did something wrong, and therefore it's an onesh. I get punished. My punishment is, if anyone's injured, I have to pay. It's not a natural result like normal nezikin. It's not a natural result. It's an onesh. It's a punishment placed on me. That's why we don't say ein onshin min adin by elsewhere. We only say it by boar. Because only boar is an onesh. Other nezikin are an onesh. And that's also why we say here there's a difference between a boar and avnos akino maso, and the knapsack, right? The difference is, if you trip on a knapsack, you can't say, well, it's your fault for walking into the knapsack. No, right? The knapsack is an item. It's not land. But boar, because it's land, you can make the argument, why did you walk into my boar? And that's why boar can only be mechayev as a special new avnezikin. Not because of something you own that did damage, but because of something you did. You created this nuisance, you created this takala, and that's why you're chayev. One last point, and then I'll take questions, is this means, right? Remember we spoke before about, is there an isser to damage? We spoke the first year, but also mentioned it today. Is there an isser to damage or not? Bal Tashchis is about cutting down fruit trees. I think it's how broad to expand it, not clear, but you're not actively doing anything. You just did something dangerous and someone else got injured. So it wouldn't be Bal Tashchis. But there's a whole host of sources that it might be. But you might say something like, look, there's no Isser per se. There's no Isser per se. If someone's damaged, you have to pay them. It's sort of a natural result. But by boar, everyone would say there's an Isser to create boar. What's the Isser? You're creating a takala. You're making a hole in the street. You're endangering people, right? You might even say it's like maket, right? Similar to maket. You need to make a fence around your roof, right? You need to make a fence around a boar too. So there's definitely an Isser in boar. You're creating a takala, which you don't have by other nezikin, and maybe that's why there's more of a connection between boar and the Isser. then maybe you don't have a connection by other Mazikim, but by Bor Dafka, maybe you do. That would be one more way in which Bor is unique.
The Isser of what? The connection to the Isser of?
The Isser of creating the Takal. Whatever exactly it is, there's a couple different formulations, but you might say it's simply damaging the public domain. You might say it's Velo Sasim Damim Bivesecha, not creating a dangerous situation.
The Isser fill in the blank.
Some Isser, right? Whatever exactly it is. But the point is, it's tied to your action. It's not because something you own did something that you're liable for.
Is Nezek Usser, by Bor, it might be yes. Fill in the blank, the Isser.
Right.
The others...
Others not.
Maybe not.
Or you might say, Bor, it's always Usser, but there only is a connection between the Isser and your liability by Bor. And by the other ones, there's no connection. It happens to be it's Usser and you're liable, but they're not connected. By Bor, though, there's more of a connection. You could say it either way. Okay. Mm-hmm, exactly. And that's what Rabbi Yishmael is saying, maybe. Right? You don't own it, and you're chayiv because it's the actions you did. Exactly. Exactly. Right.
Maybe
that's the issue, right? Some Rishonim point to that. Exactly. And that works much better for Bor than for anything else.
Right. What is the situation?